Good morning. It's July 5th, 2017. This is Hope Chapel with Pastor Jessica Schultz of the Hope Center in Marysville, Ohio. We are honored as always by your presence, listening in the car, in the office, in the kitchen, wherever you may be joining us. We are glad to be with you. We hope that you are having the time of your life pursuing God in Scripture. Our goal here is to give you a midweek, quick and easy version of a church service that can help you, support you, edify you, lift you up, and give you focus for what's next. We're using the Life Journal Bible reading app, whether you use that online, whether you buy a journal, however you choose to do that, to make our way through the Bible in 1 year together and allow God to use His Word to change our lives. We are in Hebrews chapter 3 today. If you will join me, we are going to walk through this. We're having a wonderful time in the New Testament the last few weeks. We hope you're enjoying it. Please reach out to us, shoot us an email, call the station, leave us a note, let us know on Facebook or however you like to communicate what you're hearing from Scripture. If you have a soap that just rocked your world, if you had a moment in Scripture where it just finally came to life for you, we want to hear about it. We want to know. Please reach out to us at ChineFMOhio.com or through the Facebook pages, and we'd be happy to hear your story. Hebrews is a fascinating book, but we are going to focus right here. The idea here that I believe God really wants to communicate and settle in all of our hearts is giving us power to change. Today, I believe in just a few minutes in Scripture, we can have a refreshed and renewed energy, a renewed understanding of how God can empower us to change. And I'm going to give you the primary tool that you can use to actually see that happen in your own life. I believe it's right here in Scripture, and it's a theme in the book of Hebrews. But let's start with chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, we share in the heavenly calling. So first of all, all y'all, that's what he's saying. All y'all who call yourself Christians, who align yourself with Jesus Christ, all y'all, we share in the heavenly calling. We all own that. The purposes of Jesus Christ on the earth, his kingdom work, his resurrection, death, and life, everything that he's done for us, the ministry of reconciliation, everything that God is about in the world, we share in that calling. So my first point to you today is all y'all have ownership. None of us are exempt from being on assignment to the heavenly calling that Jesus Christ had on the earth. Because the minute we became brothers with him, the minute we became sisters, daughters, family with the Most High God through the purpose of Jesus Christ, we take on his purpose in the earth, and all y'all have a role to play. Fixing your thoughts on Jesus. So because of that, the simple, easy way to stay on task and on our heavenly assignment is to fix our eyes and our thoughts on Jesus Christ, who is the apostle, meaning he is the leader. He is over all of us. He is the apostolic esprit. He's the one who multiplies that calling and purpose in the earth. And a high priest, which means he's our great teacher. He's our great negotiator. He is the protector who negotiates for us, whom we confess. We've aligned ourselves with him. Verse 2 says, he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in God's house. So the writer here is going to compare Jesus to Moses for a couple of reasons, but a few of them is that he's speaking to the Hebrews. As far as they're concerned, there's no greater patriarch, there's no greater leader of the Jewish people, of the Hebrew people, than Moses himself. So the writer here is teaching us how Jesus is greater even than Moses. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. He's saying Moses was awesome. He was a giant, but Jesus made the giant, right? He's saying if that house is to be celebrated and enjoyed, and we're grateful for the life of Moses, but Jesus made Moses. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Isn't it amazing how simple and profound a truth that is right there in the middle of the passage? If you don't read anything else today, you could walk away having a solid, understanding, simple revelation that every house is built by someone. We got everything all around us. We can look at buildings, I think even of our neighbors here at the station whose building just recently burned down. But God builds everything. It all belongs to God. There's no lack of resource for them. There's nothing that they can't be replaced because God owns everything and He will build fresh and new. Not only our physical buildings, which is just an analogy here, but everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are His house. So now He's drawing the analogy that we, the all y'all, the believers, are the house of God. We house the presence of God. We are His creation. And if we hold on to the courage and the hope of which we boast. So what is the drapes on the walls and the coloring and the furniture is our hope. It's our courage. The love we have for one another is how this house is decorated. It's what makes it more than a shack, but into something of beauty and splendor. It's the most amazing palace, the biggest home with the most beautiful features are our love and our grace, our courage and our compassion. The hope in which we boast in Christ Jesus makes that house, makes us spectacular. So, be careful whenever the Bible says so. Whenever you go from a point to a so, this is where it's about to get real. So, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. He's reminding the Hebrew people of a story they know very well, of a difficult and awful season in their history. Many, many, many generations later, He's reminding them, don't test me with unbelief and end up like they did. Because remember, He's telling us about Moses. He's reminding us of how amazing he is. But even Moses did not make it to God's rest and to God's promise in the promised land, but wandered for 40 years in a desert because of their unbelief and their hardened hearts. He says, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion and during the time of testing. This tells me that God testing us is not outside the norm. You may be in seasons where it feels like you're in the desert places. You may be in seasons of real hardship and real lack, and the Lord is testing you. He's testing your heart. He's testing your courage and the hope in which you boast. Do you boast in your own hope? Is your courage and your own capacity and abilities? Or is your hope in Jesus Christ? Is the house you're building covered in knockoffs? Or is it filled with the things of heaven? Verse 10 says this, that is why I was angry with that generation. And I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It's a stark contrast. It's settled to you and I today. But for these people, they're surrounded by a culture. They're surrounded by people that are worshiping pagan gods. They're building them out of stone. They're building them out of metal, and they're crafting them gods they can hold in their own hands. And they're celebrating erected gods that are dead and not alive. And here he says, don't turn your hearts from a living God. Part of the implication there is God can respond to your unbelief. He can respond to the sin in your life. He's not checked out. We often encourage ourselves when we're struggling and saying, God's not a big grandpa in the sky taking a nap, waiting to see what happens. repentance. Because that's true, we need to know that when there is sin and unbelief, when we're decorating the house he built for us and made possible through Jesus Christ with knockoffs and cheap imitations, we will get a response from God. There's two sides to that coin. He's reminding us here, the Spirit is saying, don't be angry. Don't turn away from me. Don't have hearts that go astray and are hardened by unbelief, because there are consequences. You will not enter my rest where there is unbelief and where there's disobedience. But encourage, verse 13 says, one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence which we had at first. I want to stop here and make some clarifications. If you're reading along in a Bible, the word today in the middle of the sentence is capitalized here. That happens several times in the book, and it's because the writer wants you to respond today, immediately. It's not because there's some power in that word, but he's making a clear and present point that the time to respond and heed the voice of the Lord is today. It's a right now. So here's the trick. Here is the tool by which you can allow God to change your heart, to change your ways, and to bring you into his rest, to gain confidence and courage, to have the hope that you can boast in that does not fail, is to choose today to heed the voice of the Lord. If you can wake up today, if you can wake up tomorrow, and you can obey the voice of the Lord, if he speaks and you can respond without hardening your heart, without disbelief, and without sin creeping in, deceiving you, if you can respond to God and his ways, just like they should have, and had they in the desert, they would be in Canaan 40 years earlier, dwelling in the land that flows with milk and honey. Respond to God today. Don't erect idols. Don't go astray. Don't wait around. Every time we hesitate in obeying the word of the Lord, the voice of God in our lives, his direction, what we know to be right and good and true, every time you hesitate, you harden your heart a little bit more. Every time we don't respond, whether it's in unbelief or the deceit of sin or that our minds are not in the right place, remember at the beginning of the chapter, he said, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Every time we stray from that and we worry about how we're going to pay for it or what's going to happen, when worry and anxiety and fear cause us to be unbelieving, every time our eyes and our thoughts are not fixed on Jesus Christ and the high calling, the heavenly calling that he has for every one of us, every time we're outside the purposes of God for our lives, every time we're not about kingdom business and we're about attending to our own hearts and desires and ways of thinking and anxieties and our greeds and our prides and our places of tenderness and hurt, every time we spend our time there and not fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, the captain of the army of the Lord, the one who is over all things, who was, who is, and is to come, the one who built the house. He's not the house, he made the house. The one who showed up at the beginning and with a breath was the creative power that brought all the universe into being. Every time our eyes are not fixed there and we lose our confidence and we lose the hope in which we can actually boast, every time we hesitate to obey God, our hearts become hard and we become further away. It's harder to hear his voice. It's harder to know when it's him and when it's us. If you're struggling to discern the right and the wrong of a thing, if you're struggling to have the confidence that you're hearing from God, I would submit to you today, do what God's called you to do. Today, do what you know to be right. Today, heed the still small voice of the Spirit of the living God who's directing you. Today, dig into the Bible. The reason we're here at Shine FM trying to teach you and encourage you and edify you and how to dig into the Word of God is because it can change your life. It can help you fix your eyes on Jesus. It can help you know the right or the wrong of a thing. It can help you to move in confidence and to boast in Jesus Christ and His death and life and resurrection. It is powerful. But we have to respond today. We can't be negotiating with God about how it's going to be and what it's going to look like. We've got to respond today. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence which we had in the beginning. Every time you fall in love with Jesus, when you encountered Him, when He changed your life, you had a confidence boost. I don't know anybody who's encountered Jesus who didn't instantly have a renewed sense of understanding their place in the world and the confidence that comes with knowing that you are aligned with the God of the universe, with the Most High, that He is your God, He's your friend, and He's your brother. When that happens, there's a confidence that comes. But in the years and months and days that follow, as we walk with the Lord, as we develop habits that are not fixed on Jesus, but fixed on all the chaos of our lives, we lose confidence. And here it says, we are in Christ. We're in His house, and it looks the way it's supposed to look, and things work the way they're supposed to work. When we fellowship with God, when we fellowship with Jesus in the things, the confidence that we have in Him. As it's been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses had led out of Egypt? Remember, we're all capable of losing our confidence. It's hard to imagine that you could walk through the Red Sea and lose confidence in God. It's hard to imagine that you could watch the plagues in Egypt and be delivered out of slavery miraculously, that you could see manna from heaven, that you could spend years watching a cloud and fire lead you, that you could be in the very presence of God and lose confidence in Him. Any one of us can take our eyes off what God's doing and become about our hunger. We can become about our hardships, we can become about all the things that are happening around us, and we lose our confidence because we take our eyes off the One who can heal us and set us free and make a way for us. He was angry with them 40 years, was it not, with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter His rest? Was it not those who disobeyed? There is a price to be paid. We'll go to heaven and God will heal us and He restores us. But there are promised lands. There are things that God wants to do in our lives. He wants us participating in the higher calling of establishing the kingdom of God here on earth. But our disobedience can cause us to lose the rest that comes from God. It can cause us to lose promises and ground that He's won for us. Respond today. Obey today. Do what He's called you to do today. Make the right choices today. Don't hesitate because it costs you something when you do. Verse 19 ends the chapter and says this, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The thing that will take away the promise of God in your life is not God. It is your unbelief. It's your inability to respond to God today. The rest of the book goes on. If you want to build your faith, if you want to know the Lord, I encourage you to read along in your life journal reading. Even if all you read this next week is the book of Hebrews, make your way through this book. It's difficult in passages. Some of it's hard to understand and know how to respond to. But I believe, and I just pray over you now, that as you make your way through the book of Hebrews over the next week or two, that it will be life to your bones. It will encourage you. It'll build your faith. And I pray for us, most of all, that we would be people who respond today to the voice of the Lord and to what He's saying to us. You've been listening to Shine FM. This is Hope Chapel, and we will be back next week with more Making Our Way Through the Bible. One word from God can change your life.
Lighting the way to the One. We're community supported Shine FM.